Room Pod, part of the White Dragon Podcast Network. Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'll be your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Good morning, groomers! Hi, Susie!
Hi, Barbara! It's so great to be here with you again for our big second show. I'm absolutely loving this. So, how are things with you today?
Oh, I'm just plugging away at that Christmas grooming and hanging in there, doing real well.
Me too. I had a friend ask me if I was working. I said yes, up until 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, with a few sleeps in between, but that's about it for me. I'm just going like crazy, too. So I just want to remind everybody to be part of the show. Please join our discussion group, The Groom Pod, on Facebook. Also, you can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, and you can email Barbara at Barbara at thegroompod.com. So I want to start out with some news.
Now it's time for grooming news and reviews, brought to you by Groomer to Groomer Magazine and Barkley Productions.
Let's start out on a sad note today. Jerry Shinberg, one of our grooming legends, passed away yesterday. It's a horrible shame, and I really want to send our condolences out to his family. Did you know Jerry?
I did know Jerry, and I knew that he was seriously ill with pancreatic cancer for the last 2 years, so it's probably a blessing for Jerry himself that that part of it is over for him, and his legacy will remain forever in the grooming industry. He's definitely a major, major icon to us and someone that we'll all look up to forever.
I remember meeting him at the same Atlanta Pet Fair show that I met you at, and I thought, who is that guy with the wacky hat and the microphone in his hand? And I was soon to learn who he was and just how much he meant to the industry. I remember hearing that back in 1972, he started the very first creative grooming competition, which is huge for me in my heart, and I know it is for you as well.
Well, and you know, speaking of the wacky hats, I spotted him that same way. Like, who's that goofy guy with that silly hat, and why would you ever wear a hat like that? And then I realized that we could spot him in any crowd in the trade show. So he was always visible on the trade show floor, and any of his helpers or his colleagues that needed to locate him right away could do so because he always had on such a stupid hat. So it was a smart thing to wear a stupid hat.
Yep, I remember seeing him at the shows. He always hosted the creative competition, and it was really fun to hear him. He had a good jokes and good stories, and he always had a minute to talk to me and encourage me, and I really appreciated that. I loved the hats. I just loved the hats. He was such a cool dude, and he certainly will be missed. So enough for the sad news. Now for some happy news. A Pacific Northwest icon, Michelle Evans, has been awarded Groomer of the Year by the Show Dog Association associated with Westminster Show. So Andis is going to fly her out to get the award so she actually gets to be at the show. She's so excited, and I am so proud of her.
Me too. You know, Michelle Evans was my certifier when I certified with IPG, and so I have a connection with her forever. And I've just been following her rising star. And she's a terrific world-class groomer and a wonderful teacher as well.
I've been lucky enough to have her as a teacher up here as well. We got graced with her presence when she moved to Portland, and Portland is just close enough to Seattle that we get to have her up here pretty often for seminars, and I highly recommend doing a seminar with her if you ever get a chance. She is just fantastic.
If you ever get a chance to be around her and learn something, she's just very good at breaking it down. You know, she can identify what needs to be done with words, and that's not easy when we're dealing with a visual art like grooming. But she can talk about it, and she can break it down for anybody to learn. Even the most seasoned groomer has something to learn from Michelle Evans. She's fabulous.
You practically pick it up by osmosis just by being in the room with her, I'll tell you. When we do invite her up here, we do the hands-on kind of a thing, and we bring in like 8 or 10 groomers, and we all bring in tables, and we stand around, and she goes from dog to dog, and we learn about every dog she's doing, and then we also have observers in, so you can just stand there without a dog and just soak up all the Michelle. It's just fantastic.
Congratulations, okay. Michelle Evans.
All right, moving on to our At the Table segment. I want to talk today about face washing and the protocols involved with that. So for me personally, trying to get the eye goobers out of the dog is a huge thing. So I always have in my station a little bit of a rinse-free eye or a rinse-free face wash. I generally use the FaceTime one from Show Seasons because I love the way it smells. And when I'm finish prepping the dog before it goes into the bath, then I take the FaceTime and I massage it in. I'm doing a little massagey thing that you can't see, but I massage it in the dog's face and get it all nice and wet before I start the bath. Then I bathe the dog, and then I reapply the FaceTime again, and I take a tiny little, say a flea comb or the Chris Christensen little dog face comb, and I comb out all the goopers while the dog is in the tub. How do you do it?
Well, I usually bathe the face first with the regular shampoo that's in my Bathing Beauty, and then I apply, and I use Show Season rinseless shampoo in a foamer. I like to use face shampoo that's foaming because foam makes for less likelihood of irritation because it actually dilutes the product that with air. You know, so it spreads it with air and dilutes the product. It's much less likely to irritate the eyes. And I again use a Show Season product because I like the fragrance. For the boogies, I use a conditioner and a toothbrush, a denture brush, a fairly stiff toothbrush. And I brush those out and... and then I've got fingernails, so I can kind of pick at them, too. But a fine comb is okay, except that I've found that the combs tend to rust if I don't take really good care of them. So that's one of the reasons why I've kind of gone to the toothbrush. And I keep a jar of toothbrushes at my tub, and we just use them, and then we throw them into vinegar and soak them in vinegar and clean them and disinfect them that way, and then just put them back into the jar for the next time. So there's been some discussion on Facebook about face products and tearless products and eye irritation that I wanted to address today, because post-grooming eye irritation is one of the things that results in dogs going to the vet and the groomer ending up with a vet bill. And rightly so, because if a dog gets soap in its eyes or gets irritated in our service, then we are responsible. And sometimes that doesn't show up until after the dog gets home. And I would say especially, maybe even more so, Susie, for mobile groomers, where you have the dog in your van and then you just run it right back into the house. At my shop, the dogs are gonna sit in a kennel for a while, and I can see them pawing at their face or rubbing on the side of the crate or squinting and blinking at me, and I can say, uh-oh, that dog's having eye irritation. And the first thing that I would do, this sometimes it even shows up in the tub, the dog starts pawing at its face or squinting at you with one eye, and the first thing to do is to gently flush the eye for 5 minutes.
Ooh, that's long.
a long time, but this is what the vet will tell you. Flush for 5 minutes with a tepid, not cold, not hot, very tepid water, and just drizzle it into that eye. Got to make sure it's at least 3 minutes. This is another time to set your timer, and that is the best way to avoid a vet visit. So let's talk about, can I talk about tearless products?
Please do.
Prevention is the best thing, and we need to know what products are most likely to burn the eyes. And my experience is that anything with any degreasing shampoo is really dangerous around the eye area, ever so much so if it has delimonene in it, which will just attack eye tissue like so aggressive. And
right.
Coloring shampoos like white on white and that kind of thing that has a lot of blue or violet coloring in it. Those shampoos that are whitener shampoos generally have harsher surfactants in them because part of whitening is to really deep clean.
Right.
And so that's an aggressive shampoo that's more likely to burn the eyes. And any clarifying shampoo, again, is made to deep clean and has a more aggressive detergent action going. So can you trust a shampoo that's labeled tearless? What do you think, Susie?
Well, I'm a little skeptical of the tearless shampoos. Because I'm using the recirculating bathing system, I feel okay about it. But I don't know how comfortable I am just taking, say, Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo and rubbing it on the dog's face. I don't know. I'm not overly comfortable with it.
Well, the truth is, tearless is just a word that anybody can use. There is no standard formula definition. There's no ingredient that makes a product tearless. And that's important to know because there's a myth going on that we've got to bust right now. The myth is that tearless shampoos contain a numbing agent that numbs the surface of the eye. And that's absolutely false, incorrect.
I've heard that rumor, and I often wondered that. So there is no numbing agent in there, huh?
There is no numbing agent in there. Some formulators utilize amides like cocamide DEA or laramide DEA. Those are added to the detergent surfactant to mitigate it, make it less likely to irritate skin and eyes.
But it still includes that harsh surfactant though, right?
The harsh surfactant is there. The harsh surfactant is still cleaning, but it's not as harsh on the tissues. Because of the cocamide DEA or the loramide MEA or any of those, they form a micelle layer that's less likely to be able to attack the tissue of the skin or eyes. Okay, so that makes the formula is composed in a way that it's less likely to irritate, and that in theoretically you can call that tear less. But it's still
right.
Not tear-free. There is no tear-free. Almost any shampoo can irritate some dog's eyes. It's some, because, you know, some dogs have more sensitive eyes than others. The other way that they make shampoo tearless is to use baby shampoo ingredients like decyl glucoside or sodium amphoacetate. Cocoa amphoacetate, those milder surfactants, those sulfate-free surfactants, are less likely to irritate the eyes.
So this is just another reason why we need to have the ingredients put on the label so that we can learn what these ingredients do and we can protect our clients that way.
Yeah, and so you can look at the label and note, does this contain milder surfactants or is this just the same old stuff with a tearless description added to it. Tearless and hypoallergenic are kind of useless descriptions that are just tossed around as marketing appeal.
That hypoallergenic thing, that's a fascinating one because one of the things that we know causes irritation is fragrance, and half of the hypoallergenic shampoos have fragrance in them. And that just doesn't make sense.
Fragrance also irritates eyes.
Ah, good to know. All right. Well, let's wrap this segment up and we'll move on to a question and answer session here, at least a question that came from one of our blog followers. And the question's a little bit related to what we talked about last week in the sympathy cards and the sending condolences. And the question comes from Penny. And Penny, in brief, asks, how do we tell our clients when it's time for their pet to cross the bridge? And that is such a sensitive topic. And these our clients do depend on us for this stuff, and we see the dogs a little less regularly, so it is easier for us to see the changes in the aging in the dogs. And I always like to get my clients to call me first before they go to the vet, you know, make me the first call, because I am a vet assistant and I can help them sort things out. And they also rely on me coming to the end of the life to help them decide when maybe it's time for their pet to go. But it is a very sensitive topic, and you can't just bring it up if the owner hasn't brought it up, in my opinion. What do you think?
Well, I think what you can do is to kind of start preparing the conversation, because we usually recognize that a pet is on a kind of a downward phase earlier than the people do. And we can just say, you know, he seems to be getting rather weak. Have you noticed that? I had a problem today with him not being able to stand up in the tub for his whole bath. You can start just preparing them for the possibility. And I sometimes step right into the conversation, and I do it as gently as possible of saying, you know, we might be on our last lap. Do we have a plan for making it comfortable for, you know, how are we going to deal with this? And I just try to engage them in a plan so that they can start planning for the passing of their pet. And not just be in denial that it's coming, because then it comes so much harder for them.
It's true. And oftentimes, as groomers, we have to adjust the way we groom the dog, and that can start the conversation as well. Sometimes you have to give an old lady dog haircut to an old lady dog who can't handle the poodle feet anymore, or something like that. And that way the conversation gets started.
Yeah, sometimes I have to start passive cage drying instead, because they can't take the high velocity dryer anymore. That's a clue, you know. We can start paving the way by just letting them know what we're observing and partnering with them. You know, in other words, let's put the dog in hospice. You know,
that's definitely the way to go. I always also like to relate to my own personal experiences. So I might say something like, well, I know it's a hard decision, but if Ruffy isn't taking any more treats, you know, really, it might be time, or something like that. Just relate it to my own personal experience. I always lean back on that treat thing. If the dog doesn't want treats, then the dog isn't loving life, and you know, then it might be time.
Yeah, I've even said to people, you know, you have my permission.
Yep.
You have my permission. You know, that way they know that they're supported in their decision, because if they're thinking about it a little bit, you know, there's time that we tend to hang on to these dogs. I do it myself.
Yeah, me too.
And
I say
you have my permission to let go anytime. I think she's ready anytime you are. You know.
Yep. And I get those phone calls often on a Saturday night where the dog isn't up and about or has had a couple accidents, and the owner calls me and says, "What do you think?" And then it gives it a really easy way to once again give them permission to put the dog down, because you are that dog's best friend, and it is so hard, but you do need to be looking out for the dog's welfare as much as the owner is. So there we go. I hope that helps, Penny. All right, well, let's take a little bit of break so we can hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be back and we'll deal with our spa treatment. All right, Barbara?
All right.
We invite you to check out the Bee Bird shopping cart at www.shop.beebird.biz. Here we offer selected equipment, tools and products, and Bee Bird educational materials. Now featuring the Handy Bathing Beauty and Australian Pro Magic Concentrate, a magic wand and a bottle. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma.
Hey everyone, it's your good pal Kev from the White Dragon Podcast Network, shamelessly interrupting your enjoyment of this tremendous WDPN podcast you're listening to basically shill to you. Bear with me here, folks, this will be brief. I know what you're all thinking, you're loving the tremendous audio spectacle currently delighting your auditory senses, and you're lamenting the fact that the stars of the WDPN are only around for you 1 hour per week, right? Well, you're wrong. We've got a whole slew of shows that will delight, entertain, and captivate you all week long. And the best part is that we've got something for everyone. Are you looking for something your whole family can enjoy? Well, look no further than Two Men and the Mouse, the flagship show of WDPN focusing on the magic and wonder of Walt Disney World. Pete Mandel and myself share our love of the most magical place on Earth as we count down the latest and greatest news of the week before diving deep into a featured topic. Maybe you're a fan of geek TV and movies. You love the worlds established in shows such as Arrow, Gotham, The Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Doctor Who, and so many more. Well, for you, we've got the Geek Watchtower. I'm joined each week by a special guest host as we review the latest installments of our favorite geek-centric media. Sometimes, though, the universe of geek pop culture can be a little too all-consuming and you need to go broad. That's why we've got Bat Squad Radio, hosted by the YouTube comedy trio known as the New Jersey Bat Squad. You'll hear me as Kev L, along with Bat Dave and Spider Denny, detailing the goings-on throughout all of geekdom. Perhaps you're more of a sports entertainment fan. Well, WDPN's got that covered as well. Step inside the world of professional wrestling with Ring Ropes Radio, the all-new pro wrestling podcast of WDPN. Kevin Clark and I present to you all the viewpoints of two 10-plus years veterans of the wrestling business and supplement that with special interviews with the stars of wrestling's past, present, and future. Want more information on where you can find this plethora of internet audio entertainment? Well, head over to Facebook.com/WD Podcast Network and give us a like for all the latest news and new shows and episodes. Okay, I'm all done. I told you it would be quick. Well, this wasn't exactly quick, but whatever. Back to the show. Enjoy it, and thank you for listening to the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Okay, everybody. Well, we all know it's Christmas time, and our spa treatment today will be about Christmas gifts and their efficacy. And for years and years and years, I have given pictures at Christmas time. I take them in the middle of the summer because the grooming trailer has its own weather environment. So, and I'm in the Northwest, so the minute it starts raining, I get a fog bank in the grooming trailer and I can't take pictures. So I actually have to think of my Christmas pictures way in June. And the minute the weather starts clearing up so that I can open the door, then I get a backdrop to flop over my table, just some nice color, and I'll set up a little bit of a set and I'll start taking pictures. And for 3 or 4 grooming sessions, I'll take pictures of the dog. Then when October 31st hits, I start Photoshopping. And I Photoshop and edit a little bit and tweak and final copy and store all of my pictures. And then on Thanksgiving or the week before Thanksgiving, I start printing Christmas pictures. And I pretty much print Christmas pictures right up until Christmas. This year, however, my mom passed away. And this is the first year in 12 years that I have not given a Christmas gift. And I have to say, my client base is small at this point, and they're very handpicked, and I've been with them for a long time, and everybody's fine with it. But I feel a little guilty as I'm reaping all the rewards, which are piled on the seat next to me in my car, all of the food, the goodies, the packages, the envelopes, and I have nothing to give back. It's a very strange feeling for me this year.
Well, you know what? I'm going to take the other side of this, okay? I stopped giving Christmas gifts a long time ago. I do special bows and kind of decorations of the dog. This year I found some what I like to find are the Christmas tree bows that you tie on the Christmas tree, and they have a wire that you can wrap around the collar and snip off, and they're kind of stiff and they make really pretty collar bows. And this year I found some gorgeous red and green plaid ones
Nice.
At Target. And I just, unfortunately, I didn't buy quite enough, but we've had a lot of fun with those. But, you know, I have gone backwards, bent over backwards, getting gifts, buying gifts, deciding on gifts, and I just wore out. I just wore out a few years ago. I didn't have any more ideas. I didn't have any time. And suddenly the holiday was upon me, and I just skipped it. And you know what? Nothing bad happened.
Oh, are you sure?
I'm sure. I didn't lose any customers because of not giving gifts. I didn't lose any tips because of not giving gifts. Nothing bad happened, and I still get gifts. And I just don't, you know, I just relieved myself of that extra stress of the holiday season. And now I just do my best. I just would do a little better grooming, a little more fussing with their dog. This year we used show season pumpkin spice cologne on the dogs. All people loved them because their dogs smelled like yummy cookies or something, you know, on their way to grandma's house for the Christmas party. So I enjoy that, and I decorate my shop, but I'm not saying that I'll never give gifts again, but maybe not. Because it's so much easier.
I bet. Well, yeah, I've got a lot of great this year, so it doesn't seem like it's much easier for me. Plus, I'm taking the pictures in the middle of the summer. And I did Christmas ornaments a couple times where I hand painted with fabric paint on the outside of the clear glass ball, and then put clean dog hair inside the ball and put the dog's name on the ball and then signed the back of the ball and then carried the ball around.
I know.
And then the next year I thought, well, I'll do something different, and I took the pictures, and I had a little back, this was in the dark ages as well, and a little portable printer that I had, and I would just print the 5x7, and I would put it in a picture frame card, and I would give them that. And then I started to get a little bit more elaborate because I do like to learn things on the computer, and I started messing with Photoshop a little. And it became much easier for me to print an 8x10 than it was for me to print out of that stupid little printer. But I started to print 8x10s for my clients, and now I've done it every year for 10 years. And when I go into some of their houses, their entire walls are lined with my pictures of their dogs at Christmas time. And I had to stop doing Christmas pictures because I ran out of ideas. So now I do like a vacation picture with the dog with a lay on them and on a blue background as if they're at the beach, or I do flowers and flower pots next to them. I try to mix it up a little bit, but I find that the pictures help me groom the dogs better. You know, when I take a series of pictures and then I look at them, I can see all of my grooming flaws. So it's twofold for me. It's not just...
I know. I love the benefits of pictures. Can I tell you a funny story about pictures and Christmas? One of my funnest times, years and years and years ago, I had a friend... opened up a boarding facility, and she got a dog costume, and she asked me to wear the dog costume to her opening, and I did that. And so I ran around being a dog at her opening, and I found out that I loved being in the costume and clowning around. I know you can appreciate this, Susie Scott.
Oh yes.
So I hung on to the costume for 2 years. She had to pry it out of my hands, actually, 2 years later. I hung on to the costume, and those Christmases, I dressed the dog costume up with black boots and a Santa hat, and I became Santa Paws.
Oh, that's so cool.
And back then we had Polaroids, and I would take Polaroid pictures of the dog after the grooming, and we gave those for gifts for 2 years. That was a lot of fun, and the dog costume was just like terrific. I remember going to the bank in my dog costume. Today you couldn't get, they wouldn't let you in the bank in a dog costume.
No way.
But back then it was before they were afraid, and I would go to the bank with my deposit in my mouth and stand there with my hand on my hip, and just people would just look. It was so much fun, and it was so festive at Christmas time, and anytime my staff thought I was getting too grumpy, they would make me suit up because I'd start giggling. And we had a lot of fun with Santa Paws. That's enough of that. We should talk about photographs some more another time, because it's a really valuable tool.
Okay, I'm jotting that down on my list. We're going to talk about photography another time. All right. Yeah, I have I've also done some had some wooden ornaments made for my clients, but I really think the pictures are always the best. I really enjoy doing them, and I feel like this year there may be Valentine's Day pictures, just because I still have I have taken all the pictures, I just haven't given them.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, there's always time. I'm sure your clients are most forgiving. They love you, Susie, like we do.
Yep, like I said, I've got a pile of stuff that I drive around with every day. I don't think I've eaten a real meal in a week and a half because of all the goodies everybody's been giving me. I do love it. And I also, another thing I do at Christmas time is I give the most decorated bathroom award. You know how, as a mobile groomer, I'm in everyone's bathroom. I pretty much have to mark my territory everywhere. And that was a little odd at first. I thought, well, maybe I should carry a porta potty, but the grooming trailer just is not big enough for a porta potty. So it's pretty much I show up at the door, knock, and they say, "Do you need the bathroom?" That's the first thing out of the mouth. So not only as a mobile groomer do I get to see everyone's beautifully decorated houses, I get to see their bathrooms. And people really do go crazy in the bathrooms. They have all matching statuettes and beautiful towels and all that. So every year, just for fun, I give away the Best Decorated Bathroom Award. I haven't found it yet this year, but I still got a few more
days. That's so cute.
And at night, the Christmas lights as a mobile groomer are phenomenal. I would love to figure out a way to put Christmas lights on my car. I haven't figured it out yet. But driving around in the neighborhoods, looking at all the Christmas lights, it really puts me in the spirit. I'm so happy to be a mobile groomer. And I think that's about all I have to say about the Christmas subject. So why don't we wrap it up at this point and say, and say thank you for listening, and promise that we will be recording again very soon with another list of topics. So please join the discussion group and give us some questions and feedback. We love that. Ooh, and a little bit of housekeeping I might add. I am having a little bit of a difficulty getting our podcast listed on iTunes, but it will be up on iTunes soon, and it will be searchable soon. I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but it appears to be a common problem at getting the podcast up on iTunes. So all of you iPad people and iPhone people, if you're having difficulties, try following either the link at the website or the link on the Facebook page. Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie@thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.